Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, the Bible said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This evening, if the Lord would permit me and help me for just a few minutes, I want to preach to you on the thought, are you ready? Are you ready? But before I get into the message tonight, I want to talk to you about Jewish weddings. Jewish weddings are common among Jewish people. The wedding is a festivity. It's more than just what you and I participate and observe at a wedding. A wedding lasts for a whole week. Can you imagine that? A wedding lasts for a whole week. And the wedding is centered around the home where the man and the woman is going to live. And the bride is there. And the bride has women that stay with her at the house. But there's something else that's interesting about it. The bridegroom can come any time that he wants to come. And the bridegroom, when he comes to the house where the wedding is going to take place, there'll be someone, and this is biblical, that he will step out, that someone that the bridegroom wants him, he will step out and he will cry out and say, the bridegroom is coming. And those virgins, those 10 virgins that's there at the house with the bride, whenever he announces the bridegroom is coming, those virgins will bring the lamps and trim the lamps and have a path where the bridegroom can come in. That's the basis of a Jewish wedding. But notice in this scripture, there's some things that I want us to look at in this scripture. First of all, I want us to see who the bridegroom is in this scripture. It's not an ordinary Jewish man. This bridegroom in this scripture is the son of a carpenter. The bridegroom in this scripture is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I see him right here in this scripture. I see him in his glory, in his majesty, and in his all. Secondly, I want you to notice about this scripture. The church is here as well. It is. The church is here as well. That includes Lynn First Baptist. That includes Antioch Baptist Church. The church is here. Some would say, well, Pastor, where do you see that in the scripture? The Bible said, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What's the bridegroom coming for? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who's the bride? Who's the bride? It's the church that's been blood-bought. Oh, that's spotless, that's without blemish. You look at a man church is in this. I want you to look at it tonight for just a few minutes. And I'm asking you the question, are you ready? Are you ready? You see the church. But now let's look now in this scripture in verse 1 through verse 13. Let's look at the condition, if I may. The conditions revealed in this scripture. This bride has 10 ladies or 10 virgins. And the condition, 5 of them are wise and 5 of them are foolish. And here they are. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're having a party or whatever. But all of a sudden the man steps out and says, here comes the bridegroom. Those women get up at the midnight hour to trim their lamps. 5 of them trim their lamps and their lamps start to burn. And then there's 5 more that trim their lamps and they don't burn. And the reason why they don't burn is because they don't have any oil in their lamps. This scripture here in Matthew chapter 25, the scripture teaches us that the oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, oil represents the Spirit of God, but as well, it represents healing in the Old Testament. Oh, but I look at this scripture, and here we are, the condition. Here's coming the bridegroom. His announcement's been made. Here stands 10 virgins. They've trimmed their lamps. And 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. Those 5 were ready for the bridegroom to come in. But 5 of them wasn't. And the scripture teaches us that they went to those that were wise and said, give us all from your lamps. They said, no, you can't have it. We've got just enough, and that's it. They looked at them and said, you're going to have to go and buy oil for your lamps. So they left. Listen, we're living in a time today where a lot of people think they are. The other night I was listening to Billy Graham in the early 60s preach a sermon. And it was a recording. And Dr. Graham said in his sermon that out of people who profess to be Christians, that there are just 30% of people that would make it into the kingdom of God. Now that's been over 40 years ago he made that statement. Do you think what he said in the early 60s is holding true today? I do. The church houses today are filled with lost people. Listen, I have a membership in my church of 600 people. I'm lucky to have 150 people on Sunday morning for preaching. So where's the other 500 folks at? The Bible said you know a tree by the fruit it bears. And if you're a redeemed child of God, every time the doors is open, if you're not providentially hindered, you're going to be at the house of God. Where's everybody else at? They're put in the category of these foolish virgins. They've been baptized. They've joined the church, but they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. They don't know him, because if you know him, you've got a hunger for his word. You've got a hunger for fellowship with the brothers and the sisters in the Lord. You're going to be there, my friend. Now, folks, I'm not mad. This is just the way I preach. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time to get down to business with God. There's one thing I know tonight. If I kill over up here with a massive heart attack, tell my wife and my children that old Tim died of preaching. Amen. Now, folks, I'm that serious about it. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Listen, I was thinking a while ago when I looked back across the congregation and I saw some of these wheelchairs. I saw some of these walkers. Amen. Don't get used to them. Don't get used to them. Because before you cross over and walk into the gates of the city, you're going to have to leave them outside. Amen. Yes, sir. You're going to have to leave them out, because there's coming a day, my friend, because of salvation, I'm going to have a glorified body likened unto the Son of God. Thank God for that wonderful day.
Amen.
The foolish, they probably belong to the church. They probably had been baptized. They probably lived a good life. They probably was just as honest could be. But there's one thing they didn't have, and that was oil for their lamps. So when it come time to trim, there's nothing there. Is anything there?
Yes.
Is anything there?
Yes.
Stand up here with me. Help me out. Yeah. Is there anything there?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Is there anything there, Brother William? Amen. Folks, I'm telling you something tonight. Oh, that precious oil, that precious spirit, how wonderful it is.
Amen.
Oh, but you look into this scripture. You look into this scripture. There was five of them that was foolish. There was five of them that was wise. The fourth thing I want you to notice, there was a cry that went out. And that cry was at midnight.
Yeah.
It was unwelcome. That's an odd time, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's an odd time. And it was an odd time for these virgins. It was, because they're caught off guard.
Amen.
Some of y'all are saying tonight, it's an odd time, it's an odd hour. Yeah. You better not get caught off guard. Because the bridegroom's a-coming, amen? Oh, it's a-coming. And listen, somebody in the back was talking about the fires out on the west coast and talking about the floods off on the east coast and all these things. Listen, the scripture teaches us in Matthew chapter 24, the scripture teaches us in the book of Revelations that there would be a lot of things take place before Jesus comes. Oh, listen, they've even made another island out around Hawaii from that earthquake. Amen. Folks, I tell you, a lot of things in the weather is changing, and some will think it's coincidence, and some think that it's this, and some think it's that. I tell you what it is, it's God. Amen. It's God. God's getting ready for Gabriel to pronounce his coming. Amen. The bridegroom's coming for the groom, for the bride. And I tell you, I'm thankful for that tonight. It was made at midnight. It was an awakening call. It was an awakening cry. And they realized they didn't have it. Folks, I tell you, don't gamble with that. Don't gamble with that. If you don't know you're saved tonight, you better know. You better know. You don't need to gamble with that just like these foolish virgins did. They gamble with it. And I'll tell you something. It's a separating cry. Now, these 10 virgins were separated from each other. Five of them went into the marriage. The door was shut. There was five left outside of the door, and they were left outside. I don't like separating.
No.
I don't. I was getting ready, and Megan's oldest boy, he'd be 2 years old, the 25th day of August. He knows more about a telephone than I know. And he FaceTimed me twice while I was trying to get ready. And he looked at me and he said, "Pop, I love you. Bye." Click. Boy, I tell you what, that just thrills me when he does that. When I get to see my boys, it just thrills me. When I get to see my children, it thrills me. But you know what, Brother William? I don't want to be separated from them. I don't want to be separated from them. Now, I see my kids all the time. I drive to Tuscaloosa once a week. If I want to, I'll go twice a week. Amen.
Yeah.
I go to Coleman three or four times a week. Amen. And my boy lives 200 yards from my house. Listen, I don't want to be separated from them. But here in this scripture, there's a separation. There's a separation between five of them and the other five. And the reason why there was a separation, because the five didn't have any oil in their lamp. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to be separated. The bridegroom's coming. Get ready to meet the Lord. It was a separating cry. A separating cry. They were apart. Boy, I don't want to be away from my wife. My wife will say this. She'll say, I'm going to pack your bag. I'm going to pack my bags and leave.
Yeah.
And she's got a right to do that a lot of times. But every time she says that, I tell her, you pack mine too, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, I'm going with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, no separation. No separation. I look in this scripture. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you're not, my prayer is tonight that you get ready to meet the Lord. There were five that was ready, and there were five that wasn't. If I didn't know, I'd know tonight. I'd know tonight. The bridegroom is coming. And the bridegroom may come tonight. If you were to come, are you ready to meet him? If you're not ready, get ready. If I was a mama or a daddy in this building, and I knew I had a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter that was lost, I'd be in this altar begging God to save them. That's how much I believe in that. You know, I used to pastor in Lawrence County. I want to share this with you. I'm going to give an altar call. I had a man in my church there that was a sharecropper. And I'm telling you, he worked his garden. He had his garden fenced in. And he'd take his shoes off and go barefoot in his garden. And we was having revival at the church. And he had a son he loved more than anything in this world. Matter of fact, he had 12 children. And this particular son, he was so worried about him. And I won't ever forget this. Old Brother Travis came to the altar. His son was sitting there. And he knelt in that altar and he got to praying for his son. And he got, and there's probably 300 people there in the building that night. And he got to praying for his son. And he said, Lord, Charles is here tonight. And Lord, he's lost and he's not saved. And God, I want you to save him tonight.
Yeah.
Old Charles is sitting back there about where Brother Johnny's sitting at. And boy, he just had his head dropped. And finally, old Brother Travis just laid out in the altar like he'd lay down in a bed. And he'd say, God, Charles is here and he's lost and he needs to get saved. Lord, I want you to save him. We carried that invitation on for 30 minutes. Old Charles left that night lost. But the next morning, was having day meeting. Brother Cook was helping me then. And was having day meeting. And old Charles was back again.
Yeah.
Gave the invitation. You can remember how old Brother Cook would. He'd beg him.
Yeah.
And boy, old Brother Cook was back there and he was begging him to come to the altar. And old Charles never would move. Charles come back that night. Same thing happened that day.
Yeah.
Charles never did move. About 2:00 in the morning, I was in the bed where I live. My phone rang. It was old Charles. He said, Preacher, I've gone as far as I can go.
Yeah.
I gotta have help. I said, Charles, I'll be there in an hour. And I got down to his house and he's sitting out on the front porch. He looked at me and says, Preacher, come here, I want to show you something. Walked in there in his house. He got his wife up, got his kids up. Said, Preacher, said, you see that spot right there? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, right there is where Jesus saved.
Yeah.
Now, why do you think he got saved? You think he got saved because I was the pastor?
No.
You think he got saved because Brother Cook was doing the preaching?
No.
He got saved because he had a daddy that wanted him to get saved. And his daddy prayed conviction upon his soul and upon his spirit. And that's the reason that man got saved. And boy, we need that today. We need that today in our church. If you're here tonight, you got a child or grandchild that's lost, you need to be an altar praying for them to get saved and get right with God. And if you're here and you're not ready to meet the Lord, the bridegroom is coming. If you're not ready to meet the Lord, you need to come tonight and get ready to meet the Lord.